silly way, but it's going to appear different to the world the way we walk. And he says walk in terms of live, how you live out your life. Okay, and so we're going to look at that this morning in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and right now we're at the continental divide of Ephesians. The first half of the book has been more of a theological treatise by Paul. He's talking about all that we have in Christ. So he's laying all this knowledge out, and now he's saying, in light of this, this is how you should live. So now we've got over the peak, and the whole rest of the book, he's going to be fleshing out practically how all that we have in Christ that we've looked at in the first half of Ephesians works itself out both in our personal lives and in our lives as a church and as a body. And he's this whole passage, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, they're, again, huge sentences. If you look at these in the Greek, they are massively big sentences. And the only imperative, what's an imperative? Does anybody remember? I'm going to ask Beth Fish. She's our grammarian. Yes, but what's an imperative? Yeah, like parents, you might say, turn off that light. Shut that door. I don't want all the air conditioning going out into the neighborhood or whatever. Now this time of year, don't let that door open. The heat, heat's going all out. So Paul gives them one imperative, and that imperative is right at the beginning. He says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Okay, so that's the one imperative. So the way we walk are, hopefully it's not too silly like we just saw, but he's saying, I want you to walk differently based on what this is saying. So read along with me. I'm going to be reading this from the ESV, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience and bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that now belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. He gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, I could do a sermon probably on every verse here, so we're covering a lot of ground. There is so much in this passage, and I just want us to focus on three things today. First, what does the walk look like? That would be verses 1 through 6. Secondly, how do we do it? Verses 7 through 13. And then third, where does it lead? Verses 14 through 16. So what is the walk? How do we do it? And where does it lead? And I'm going to take some liberty here. I was at a conference yesterday, the next conference. It was over in Dover, Ohio, and we were talking about teen and children's ministry, and Andy Anschutz went with me, and at that conference there was a fella, Ken Castor, has written this book called Growing Deep, and I'm going to draw an illustration for you for the rest of this sermon, because I am very short on time. But we've been talking about Christ a lot in Ephesians, haven't we? And we've been talking about being in Christ, right? What are some of the things that that we have in Christ. Like, imagine with me, if we look at chapter 2, in chapter 2 it says this word root, not chapter 2, chapter 3, the prayer right before what we read today that Paul's talking about. He said, I want you to be rooted in love, rooted in Christ. So what are some of the things that we have in Christ that we've talked about? So you guys can shout these out. And don't say them too fast because I have to write. So what are some of the things?
Peace.
Good. Thank you, Danny. You know what? I'm going to do it in a different color. We got red here. Peace. Anything else?
Joy.
Love.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Forgiveness.
I heard kindness. Forgiveness, kindness, patience. Anything else?
Hope.
Self-control, yes. Do you know what? One more?
Gratefulness.
I'll do thankfulness. That's thankfulness. We could probably keep going for quite a while, could we not? And what's interesting here is toward the end, he says the goal of all this working out is what? That people would grow what? Grow up. Right? Grow up. Now, what's interesting is this fellow was talking, Ken was saying, he's like, I'm going to write a very bad word. And we were all like, oh, what's he going to do? He said, here's the bad word. Adult. It's a bad word. He says, add means you're going to add something, right? And alt, to add something to. So adult is, we keep adding. And what's, we think of the word adultery. What does adultery mean? To add someone else, right? Yeah, not good. When they adulterate a product, what happens? Like if you have hot dogs that say they're 100% beef, but they're an adulterated hot dog. It's not beef. It's maybe goat, horse, whatever else, plastic pieces. Who knows? So we don't, you know, so we don't want to become adults. So often when we go to adult, we just keep adding to our lives, right, as adults. We can keep adding. But what does Christ say? He says to be like a child, right? Be childlike. So what does Paul mean here when he's saying grow up? Is he saying become an adult? Become independent? Become your own authority and everything? What is Paul saying? Mature. He's saying grow up. Grow down is what this guy said. Grow down into Christ. So, I don't know about you, my kids could tell you this, but I have a limit of patience, right? Does sometimes it reach my limit and I maybe say something I regret, Travis? I'm not going to pick on you. He doesn't like when I pick on him, but where's Ethan? Oh, Talia, do I lose my patience? Yeah. And I may say things I regret. I have limits. I have limits of self-control. All of us have limits, but does Christ have limits? What was the prayer of Paul? That you would know the height, the width, the depth, the limitless nature of Christ. Does he have limits? Especially now that he's left us physically, he's with the Father, we have the Holy Spirit. So when we grow down into Christ, we have access to all this in a limitless amount. Are you and I growing? You know, if you think of a tree, Have you seen trees recently in the hurricanes and stuff that get uprooted in maybe pictures? I remember recently there was a couple years ago there was a rain, and it rained, and then the wind came and blew, and I saw some big trees around here in Mansfield that got pulled up, and you would see like the whole ground with it. And why would a tree get pulled up like that? How could it fall over? Why would it fall over? Shallow roots. Shallow roots. So what allows us, the Bible often tells us this idea to stand. Stand in the Lord. And what Paul's saying is here, he's talking about walking, but then he also is talking about being rooted. So he's talking about a way of life, but your way of life is to be in Christ. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. And it's interesting, like, this idea of calling is a summons. Like, you are summoned to court. You know, you better be there, right? You ever got a summons? And he's saying, walk in a manner worthy of the summons you have received. And he's saying, he's reminding them that he's a prisoner for the Lord. So he's saying, in a sense, that I am a prisoner to this calling, this summons of God. What is the calling? Do you remember where it was earlier? Because sometimes in modern day talk, we always talk, your calling, my calling, everybody's calling. But he's talking about one calling here. What is this calling? What was it earlier in Ephesians? Yeah, this gospel that has brought peace. That's our calling. Every single believer. And so he's saying, I want you to stand in this calling. I want you to walk in such a way. And he starts mentioning things. Imagine, like, he was saying to them that you are sons and daughters of the King. So you might think, oh, if the president called you up and summoned you to his presence, would you kind of feel pretty special? Depends if you like them, but maybe the governor, I'll use someone else. But if you got called to the mayor's office, like Gwen, if they called you up and said, Gwen, we want you to come to the mayor's office because he wants to talk to you personally, would you feel like, wow? Or maybe yeah. So he's saying, here's how you should walk in light of all that you have in Christ. You might think, oh, I'm walking proud. What does he say here? Look at verse 1. Humility. Gentleness. Self-control, patience, bearing with one another. These seem opposite of a high status, don't they? But he's saying, in light of your calling, this is how you should walk. This is how you should live. This is how you should grow. Grow in the Lord. And what is, we saw a lot of these qualities he's talking about down here in Jesus, right? So if we're growing in Jesus, we will start to exhibit what? What kind of fruit? What will be the fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. So my hope is that today, instead of leaving here saying, I got to try harder, I got to do better, you know, because this is something I found myself falling into. I would see these commands of Paul and the Bible, walk in the Lord, and I think, oh, I got to try harder this week. I got to be more loving. I got to try harder to be peaceful and patient. What Paul's saying is here is go deep into Jesus. You know, and one thing I experienced the other day, I was with my kids, and they probably don't want me calling on them anymore, but I was struggling with patience, and I said, Jesus, help me have patience. Do you do that when you're tempted to get angry? Lord, help me to exercise self-control. Are you running to Him for your limitless resource? Are you growing deep into Jesus? And what's amazing is we're going to be able to keep growing into Jesus forever because He's limitless. And that will be what allows you to start bearing this fruit. The fruit comes from the root. So if you're looking at your life and you're seeing anger, outbursts of anger, selfishness, all this fruit of the flesh, what are you depending on? Yourself. Where are your roots? Yourself or something else other than God. So if you want to grow in God, go deep into Jesus, asking Him to be your source, not your own strength. So I hope that helps you as you're thinking about this. So that's what it looks like. But he then goes on to talk about how do we do it? And I gave you a little bit of insight into that. But one thing that's interesting in this passage, he quotes Psalm 68:18. And that's that part, it seems kind of obscure. You probably read that and go, what is he talking about? He ascended and descended and gave gifts. And it's a little cryptic and a little tricky. If you look back at that psalm, he's actually changed the wording of it. And remember when Tom Kelby said that we can trust the apostles' interpretation of the Old Testament? Jesus in John 17 said, you can trust these guys. So why is Paul having this liberty to change it? In the Psalm 68, it says that they gave gifts to him. He switches it and says he gives gifts to men. And the Jews often would interpret that passage as Moses going up to heaven and getting the law, and they weren't thinking of the Messiah. But what's interesting is that whole passage is talking, if you go look at it, it's talking about enemies of God, and he's bringing everything under captivity. And what has Paul been talking about in Ephesians? How Christ is going to fill all the world, that everything will be under him. And instead of demanding from us, what is he giving us? What's it saying in this passage? What are the gifts he gives? Do you see it? What are the gifts? He gave, in verse 11, what? He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Why? To equip. That word equip means to make perfect, to get ready for something. So he gave you the gift of leaders. Have you ever thought of leaders as a gift? Maybe it's a pain. I don't want to be led. We are Americans, right? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. He gave us the gift of leaders to what? Equip for this building up of the body. And that's referring back to this old analogy that he used back in 3, that we are like bricks in a temple, that you and I each have a job. And I was looking at Tom Kelby's commentary on this. He has one if you go to Hands on the Plow. And he talked about this. Embrace the grace and embrace the gift. Embrace the grace. You are rooted in Christ. You go deep in him. Embrace the gifts. He's given you leaders. He's made you a leader in others' lives. And as I think of this tree analogy, when trees are close together, their roots support one another. So, you know, when you have a whole forest, you don't see forests generally fall over. It's usually a tree that's all by itself. And God has brought us together to equip one another for works of service. When we stand together, we're stronger. Do you view leaders as a gift to help equip you? I was thinking of an analogy. I like board games. Who here has played board games? And I do a game night with some guys every once in a while, and we always seem to bring a new game. Have you ever learned a new game? And especially one of these like big strategy ones with about a rule book that is like this thick. Is that hard, Marie, when you learn a new game? It's frustrating. The first time you play it, and if you're the one that has to read it and explain it to everybody, you're going, oh, yeah. But if you've played a game, and then you go and you explain it to someone, is it a lot easier for everybody? Rather than being the first time everybody's played it. So what he's saying here is, these leaders, these people that are gifted in these evangelism, in teaching, they've gone through this before others, and they are saying, here's the way. Here's how to do this. It's so much easier than trying to figure it out on your own completely. Someone else has gone through it. I can learn so much from Fred, from others, from Ray, from those of you that are older. You've gone through it before. You can show the way. In the same way, he's called us to build one another up. Those of you that have a gift in one area, you know, so each part doing its job is what this whole idea of the church is about. So he's saying, I'm going to show you how this practically works out the whole rest of the book. So I would say, you know, a good verse to mark is verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And now the whole rest of the letter, I'm going to show you what that looks like. And he said, that strange walk, you know, I can't do it like John Cleese, I'll probably break my ankle. That strange walk, it consists of humility. It consists of gentleness. It consists of this idea of long-suffering. These qualities that are so counterintuitive to the world. This is what it consists of. And this is how it's going to work out. So we're going to dig deeper into this. And I'm hoping in your groups you could dig into this a little bit today. I'm going to close us now in prayer. And I would like for you just to go from here with this idea of walking differently because of what you've received in Christ and that challenge today. So let me pray. Lord, you've called us to a different walk, and it may look odd to the world to be humble, to not be proud, to be gentle, to have control of our anger or of our passions, to be long-suffering, to endure others in a loving way, and to love. You've called us to go deep in you. So Lord, we want to do that. Would you help us this week even, and in our groups as we discuss this and talk about it, that we would really begin to put this into practice of trusting you and going deep in you to receive from you what we need to do this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom.